If you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand as I read from Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to begin in verse 13. The Bible says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all of these things which had happened. And so it was, while they were conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are so sad?' And then one of them, whose name was Caiaphas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And so they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, a certain certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. And when they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said, "He is alive." And a certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ have suffered these things to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. And now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they knew that it was him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" And so they rose up at that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you today, God, we do come very humbly into the presence of the true and living God. And Lord, I pray that you will allow us to have our spiritual eyes opened, our spiritual ears open, and then our heart open, Lord, to the fact that you are alive, that you are the Messiah, and you are the promised one of the Old Testament. Lord, we love you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you see in this text, we are drawing into a conversation that was taking place between three people walking down the road about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The context is these two men had been told Jesus was alive. They wanted to believe it, but it was just too good to be true. So they're walking along discussing the disappointments and the dismay that they have over Jesus' ministry. I would offer to you that the key verse in this text is in verse 34, when these men run back to Jerusalem and they say that the Lord is risen indeed. And when they realized that, it changed everything about their life. I would offer to you that the need in this passage of Scripture for us today is to realize that Jesus didn't just do random things that allowed us to refer to him as the Son of God. He fulfilled over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament about himself. Jesus did not ask them to just believe in him. Jesus asked them to study what they wouldn't have called it a Bible, but they would have referred to the Old Testament. And he said, "Go back and look. Don't take my word for it. Don't take this for face value. Go back into the Old Testament. Study the Bible. See what the Bible actually says." And the realization is, when we know who Christ is, we know that it's not some random event that just happened, but we realize this, it allows us to truly have a conversation of hope. Now, I want to ask you, and you have to answer this in your own heart, but have you ever been at a place in your life where you just simply lost hope? When a person loses hope, they have lost a reason to get out of bed in the morning. When a person loses hope, they have lost that sense of direction in their life. And I offer to you, that is exactly what happened to these guys. They did not believe that Jesus had fulfilled his earthly ministry. They didn't realize that because Jesus had fulfilled his ministry, now they had the opportunity to fulfill theirs. When we look at this passage of Scripture today, it's very clear that the Lord wants us to believe in him. He wants us to have faith in him. He wants us to place our eternal destiny in his life. But he doesn't want us to do it on face value. He wants us to start in Genesis and go all the way to Revelation to make our decision. The question before the church today is, how can a person have an encounter with Jesus through Scripture, which should be our goal every time we meet? The first way is found in verses 13 through 24, and it's by having a conversation about where we are. I would offer to you, and you can say you don't agree with this, but I would offer you that far too many times we forget Jesus knows our heart. Sometimes I offer to you, think that because I can fool people at church, that I can fool Jesus. And we have to realize that the Lord sees our heart, and he knows where we are. And this is another thing that's astounding to me about this passage of Scripture. Peter denied Jesus three times. In John 21, Jesus restores Peter back. Jesus didn't wear him out about denying him. Jesus didn't go after him. Jesus just simply met him where he was and moved him to where he wanted to be. I don't know how Jesus didn't say, am I going to have to call down fire from heaven so you people will know who I am? He met them right where they were and took them right to where he wanted them to be. Notice what the Bible says in verse 13. So they're walking along, they're traveling, it's the same day. They're running for their lives. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. They're headed to a place, a village called Emmaus. That means warm springs. And it was 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're traveling along, and they're just talking about all these things that happened. And the Bible says in verse 15 that they conversed and they reasoned. And what's interesting about the word reason in the Greek is they're arguing. They're trying to work this out. They're having this honest discussion about the events that took place and what happens, but Jesus himself drew new and went with them. So these guys are walking along. Obviously, Jesus walked faster than they did. He catches up with them. And as he catches up with them, he starts to walk with them, and they didn't realize it was him. The Bible says, but their eyes were restrained. And what's interesting is, to the best that I could understand it, I tried to figure it out, there's no reason for their eyes to be restrained. And it's not anywhere in the Bible that God did it. They just didn't recognize it. And I think that that's an ultimate example of the fact that they believed that he was dead. But the Bible says they didn't recognize him, and they didn't know him. And the reasons that they didn't know him was, first, was unbelief. And then second was unwillingness. Their unbelief and their unwillingness was linked together because they did not know what the Bible said about Jesus. They didn't understand Jesus in the Old Testament. And so when they didn't understand Jesus in the Old Testament, they didn't ultimately know what he was going to do. And because of that, they allowed him to stand in their midst and miss him. Verse 17. So he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk along? And I'm going to not use the word sad. I'm going to say with your lip poked out. All right? So that's exactly what they were doing. I know all you ladies in here have seen your husband with his lip poked out. And you're like, get that picture in your mind. They're just walking along. They got their lip poked out. And then one of them, verse 18, whose name was Caiaphas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and you have not known the things which happened in these days? And what he's saying is, how in the world do you not know what we're talking about? And so, Jesus then says, what things? All right. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, and notice this word, who was a prophet. They thought it was over. They said he was a prophet. He was mighty in word. He was mighty indeed. But man, he was a prophet. Now, I want you to take just a second and think about their perspective of why they're running, why they're so disappointed, and why they're so dismayed. Back in the day, the nation of Israel, this landmass, was governed by the Romans. The Romans had something they called the Peace of Rome. All they cared about was everything being lovely. And what they would do is, if a person committed a crime, they would round up that person, that person's family, that person's friends, and they'd crucify all of them. They'd put them right out on the main road. They'd crucify every one of them for the transgressions of one person. And the reason that they would do that is, if you were a part of someone's family, you knew that person was doing something wrong, what would you automatically do? You'd report it. You're not going to die for that. And so the reason that these guys were so upset and afraid, they were expecting at any minute to be nailed to a cross. They knew what happened to Jesus, and they were expecting at any minute that same thing would happen to them. And when they were talking about Jesus, they said he was, past tense, a prophet. He was mighty indeed. In other words, they knew he had healed the sick. They knew that he had fed the multitudes. They knew that he had raised the dead. And they knew that he had calmed the sea. But when they said he's mighty in word, I thought about at the end of the story that Jesus told about the person who built his house upon the rock, not the sand. When he summed it up in verse 28, this is Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, "And so it was, when Jesus ended these sayings, that the people were astonished." And in the original language, that means that they were basically knocked over at his teaching. And he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so when Jesus did these miracles, I cannot fathom being there when a person who's crippled is healed. Or I can't imagine when somebody has been blind their whole life and they can see. But what is amazing to me is, I would consider that to be astounding. But they equated when he talked, when he preached, when he taught the scriptures, they associated those as being the same thing. And I'm going to tell you something, that's pretty doggone impressive if you ask me. And so the Bible says in verse 20 that the chief priests, they handed him over, they crucified him. And Jesus had told them repeatedly, beginning in Matthew chapter 16, that was going to happen. Now, I want you to look at verse 21. What is the first word of verse 21? I choose to read out of the New King James. What's the first word of verse 21? But. All this stuff, but. There's always a but, isn't there? But. And what he said is, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. In other words, we were so sure he was the Messiah, but oh my goodness, it wasn't him. Can you imagine? You have heard your entire life stories about the coming Messiah. And in your lifetime, the Messiah shows up. You think you know who it is. You think you got it. And my goodness, it turns out to not be true. I don't think that we are capable of understanding the disappointment that these people would have. And then the Bible said, indeed, besides all this, in other words, as bad as that is, here's the next thing. It's been 3 days. And the reason the Bible points that out is they believe that up until the third day, a person's spirit could return to them. And so in their mind, they didn't believe a person was dead to the third day. So what they said was, oh my goodness, he has disappointed us in the worst possible way. And oh, by the way, he's dead. He's dead. It's over. There's nothing more to it. And then in verse 22, he said, and certainly women of our company, and back in the day, Ephesians 5:25 had not been written yet, that put this back where God always intended it to be. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church. Women couldn't even testify as a witness at this point. And so it gets worse when they said, now we got to take the word from somebody we don't even have to trust. But he said, they went early, and boy, they astonished us. Here's that same word again. Knocked them over. They went, they didn't find their body, didn't find his body, and they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And man, they went running down there, and they said they found the tomb just as the women had said, but then they said, but him they did not see. I'd like for you and I to answer this question honestly. Have you ever been disappointed in Jesus? Have you ever just thought, man, think about how many times I have been to Sunday school and look. Think about how many times I've given a tithe and look. Think about how many times I've been to church on Wednesday night. Look, right? It is so easy to do if we take our eyes off his purpose. We take our eyes off the reason that he came. And these men, their belief was not based on Jesus as the Messiah coming to earth to pay the penalty for men's sin. Their belief was based on what they believed about the Messiah. Now, I need you and I to think about that. Because until the day I acknowledge that what I believe is not what's important, what's important is what the Bible says. There wouldn't be umpteen million denominations if people didn't believe different things about the same event. And what we have to be sure of is that what we believe is what the Bible says. Because if you don't believe what the Bible says, you have been deceived. And if you have been deceived, then you're believing something that's not true. And how many of us want to wake up in eternity and realize what we believe is not true? I don't. All right? So hold that thought. We're coming back to it. Now, what we have to realize then is that Jesus is alive, that he is the one that has secured our souls in eternity through his resurrection. But we have to realize that we must read our Bibles. I think most of you knew where this was going as soon as you heard the text. We must read our Bibles. Because if we don't read our Bibles, we won't know what it said, and we will be like these guys running around repeating what we've heard our whole life, believing that because we've heard it our whole life, it must be true. Can I get an amen? All right, me too. All right, so let's look in verses 25 through 27 about their disappointment and their despair. And I would say it's very important for us to be willing to have an honest conversation about that. In verse 25, he said to them, "Oh, foolish one." That's not a derogatory term meaning witness, being wickedness. What he's saying is thoughtless. They have not considered one time in the situation that they're facing what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to say this from somebody who's been through a little tragedy in life. If you want to draw the wrong conclusions about your circumstances, draw them apart from the Bible. Amen. Come on now. You draw them apart from the word of the Almighty, you will draw the wrong conclusion. And the conclusion you draw will make your situation worse, not better. Come on now. I don't think we all agreeing about that. Listen, we better know. All right, I'm just going to move on. Point made. Said, all right, foolish one. And then he said, and slow of heart to believe. Now, notice what he says, slow of heart to believe. He didn't say, if you're looking again at the New King James, he didn't say, slow of heart to believe in me, did he? Where did he send them back to? Back to all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus didn't say, believe in me. Jesus said, get your Bible out. Jesus said, you get your nose in the book, you'll find me. You'll find me in that book. And then he said, all not the Christ have suffered all these things to enter into his glory. And notice what he said, verse 27. He said, and beginning at Moses and the prophets. Notice where he started. He went all the way back to the beginning. When he said Moses, he's talking about the first five books of the Bible. Be reminded, sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3. You know where the first mention of Christ in the Bible is? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So as soon as sin comes in the world, Jesus, I mean, obviously I'm not going to say, but it could stand to reason, Jesus went all the way to Genesis. He went all the way back to the fall and said, hey guys, think about this. What did God say? And he started right there. And then the Bible said that he expounded, and that's to translate, to clearly explain to them all that the Scripture said concerning himself. Now, we have to realize that the proof in his purpose was not his presence or their situation. He used as proof the Bible. And this is something that is very important. It is very important that all of us understand we must read the Old Testament. All right? I'm not saying you don't, but it's very important that we understand the Old Testament. The reason is all the Bible these guys have would be what we consider to be the Old Testament. And one of the things that is so amazing is that the Old Testament was written approximately 450 years before Jesus was born. They're containing 300 approximate prophecies about the Christ. It is impossible for us to calculate the odds of Jesus fulfilling those 300 prophecies other than to say only God could do that. Now, I'm going to give you a quick example. There is not a single solitary person in this room that knows for a fact who the governor of our state is about to be. Nobody in here knows who the president is going to be next year. No, I mean, we can just go down the line of things we don't know. But for someone to say what is going to happen in 450 years and it happened exactly as that person says, we absolutely know that it was God. Now, one of the things that I love to talk about is Sunday school. Listen, if you're here and you do not have a Sunday school class, I want to plead with you, get in a Sunday school class. The reason I want you to get in a Sunday school class is not for my good, but for yours. The reason is we use this book is this one happens to be about Mark. I would say that most all of the teachers in here prefer the books of the Bible in the New Testament over the old. You know, I teach fifth and sixth grade Sunday school. Our lesson was on the Song of Songs very recently, and we were all embarrassed. But it's still in the Bible, right? It's still in there. And so we had a lesson, you know. We went right on. And I would say that most of the teachers in here would prefer Mark over some of the prophets of doom in the Old Testament. But listen, if you don't understand the Old Testament, you're going to understand the New. And that's why we use this material. We have to go back. We have to go back to the Old Testament. If you will join a Sunday school class, you'll find there's Bible reading in here. Listen, if you attend a church and they don't look you squarely in the face and say, if you do not read your Bible, you have a spiritual problem, you got the wrong church. You got the wrong church. You know why we start with scripture memorization every week? If you're not memorizing scripture, somebody has told you something that's a lie. Could you imagine waking up in eternity and realize just because your granny and your papa and your mama and your daddy believed something, you believed it and woke up in eternity and found out it was not true? Listen, one of the most awkward situations I ever had as a Sunday school teacher, when I was at Park Place, there's a room full of people and we were talking about something, and I'm sorry, but the Bible was very clear. It was not a gray area. And I mean, we're in a room full of people, and this guy, we're still friends. I mean, I see him around town. I mean, it's not uncommon to see him. But he said, my papa was a Pentecostal preacher. And he said, that's not true. Boy, you talk about sucking the air out of the room. But you know what? We're still friends today, but with as much grace and with as much mercy as I could say to him, I had to say to him, man, I'm sorry. But your papa was wrong. And listen, you choosing words very carefully. And everybody in the room is looking like, boy, I'm glad I'm not the teacher. Nothing like love and support from the back, right? They're like, woo, woo. But listen, it makes no difference what I say. You know what matters? What does God's word say? And listen, you're not going to know if you sit in here and take my word for it. I don't want you to do that. I'm telling you right now, read your Bible. Because if I deceive you or mislead you or tell you something that's not true, when you stand before Jesus in eternity, you can't say Brother Jeff was wrong. I'll say I was wrong, but you can't say I was wrong. You know why? Because we all got Bibles. And listen, you say, well, I don't read very well. Listen, I got the Gideon app downloaded on my phone. I can have my Bible read to me anytime I want to. I don't even have to read it. I can hit and it'll read it to me. And when it's a woman's part, it'll be a woman's voice. When it's God, it sounds like, ugh. I mean, they got it. It's good. I mean, it's interesting. You know, when it's a kid, it's a kid. And listen, I don't even have to do anything but hit and then just type in wherever I want. It'll read to me. I'm telling you, there are places in the world people need Bibles and can't get them. And that, I would say that as far as I'm concerned, that's a pretty good excuse. There's not a single person in this room, including me, that has 1 ounce of an excuse other than spiritual laziness. I mean spiritual laziness. Don't be that person. Read your Bible. If you don't have a desire to read your Bible, you need to meet the author. Man, it's amazing what knowing the author will do for your Bible reading. Wednesday nights, we're doing this study, How We Got the Bible. We started Wednesday. Last Wednesday past was just basically a study about the inerrancy and the infallibility of Scripture. We're going to talk about that because it is. But Wednesday night's how we got the Old Testament. Why do we have less books in our Bibles than some denominator? Why? Listen, it's very easy to understand. It's very easy to know. We start at 6:30 Wednesday. And listen, you're never going to believe the Bible if you don't trust it. And the thing about it is we can trust it. All right, so I can always tell when it's time to move on. So, last point, verse 28. Having honest conversation about the Word of God. Whew, do we not need to do that? In verse 28, it says, then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them, and it came to pass, he sat at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to him. Then, all right? Now, I mean, the Bible doesn't say, and even though, you know, we can speculate, we can't say for sure, but I just have a sneaking suspicion that when he broke the bread and went, they went, because they saw the nail print. They heard him pray, they saw the nail prints, and the Bible said then, their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us? Sometimes my heart burns within me, but it's not from Jesus. You want to hear a quick, funny story? I have a friend, I will not name the restaurant because those people have not done anything to me. But I didn't want to go there, but it was his birthday and he wanted to go. So I said to the waitress, give me what you're famous for. They are famous for heartburn. I like to have died. Yeah. I'm not going to name the restaurant, but that's a true story. Yeah, I said, give me what you're famous for. Whoo, boy, do I know what they're famous for. Okay, didn't our hearts burn? Now listen, do you know you can take your Bible, you can get up. I choose to do my devotion in the morning. That's not more spiritual than any other time of the day. You know you can take your Bible, and do you know your heart can burn within you when you read it? Or you can take your Bible, your eye can go line to line. You can be looking at it with your eyes and thinking about what you got to do when you get to work, and not one single solitary thing happen. And you close your Bible, and the pages haven't stopped. And if somebody said, I'll give you $100 million to tell me what you just read, you'd be like, the Bible? A book. And listen, you know who gets to choose whether my heart burns within me or not? Absolutely. And you know what we get out of it? Exactly what we put in it. And if we don't put anything in it, we're not going to get anything out of it. And so you know what they did when they realized who Jesus was? Man, they took off back to Jerusalem. They didn't wait. They went at that moment. And they found the 11 who are still hiding. Remember, they're still thinking, we're fixing to die. We're about to be crucified. They find the 11. And obviously, they had been with them because obviously they didn't whip out their cell phone to find them. They knew where they were. They went back to their hiding place and they said, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Now, this is what I want to ask you. Can you see them? And I guess because when things don't go my way, I tend to stick my lip out just a little bit. So I can imagine these guys walking along with a stuck out lip. But I can also imagine the joy when they on that door. Because I'm sure the people on the inside, when they heard a wah, 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 thought, well, it's been a good life. That's it. It's over. They found us. Man, this is going to hurt. Boy. And the door burst open and the voice said, he's alive indeed. Can you imagine? They went, what? You scared us. What? Man, he's alive. And they told him about the things that happened on the road. And now he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Listen, I'm going to tell you how valuable this Bible that we have is, because it allows us to know God. Now, I would think that all of us, and maybe there's somebody in here that don't, and you know, maybe there's exceptions to everything. Most of us would say, boy, I'd like to see Jesus. Man, if I could just see Jesus, then I would be a missionary in Africa. You know, if I could just see Jesus, then I would share my faith. But you know what? Moses saw God. And you know what? He didn't get to go into the promised land because he still disobeyed him. Peter saw Jesus, was with him for 3.5 years, made some of the boldest claims that a person can make, but he still denied him. And I believe and offer to us today, that's why Jesus just took them back to the Word. Because you and I can't sit down on that chair and say, I'm sitting here till Jesus tells me what to do. He's most likely not going to do that. You know why? Because he already did. Amen. And there's one thing I've noticed about my relationship with God. He rarely repeats himself. He's already told us. He's not going to tell us again. And we have to realize that we know the Lord through Scripture. And if we don't read our Bible, we are 100% taking somebody else's word for it. I was listening to an individual that was preaching on the radio. Man, he was getting after it. I mean, he was going hard. And I found myself agreeing with him. And then all of a sudden I went, wait a minute, that's not right. I mean, he was saying it with such conviction. He was saying it with so much. He was just, you just found yourself wanting to agree. And then you're like, wait a minute, that's not right. And if we don't know what the Bible says, you know what? It's when some smooth talker comes along, you know what we'll say? Man, that must be right. And the only way is by knowing that the Bible is referred to as being inerrant. That means that in the original form in which it was written, it contains no error. That the Bible is infallible. And that means that the Bible is not capable of deceiving. And then that it's sufficient. It tells us everything about God that we need to know. Now, here's my last two illustrations. Look at verse 41. I didn't read all the way to there, but look at verse 41. This is what's amazing. They go back, they tell them, Jesus appears to them in verse 36. It says, peace to you. Man, they have this big conversation. And then in verse 40, he said this, and he showed them his hands and his feet. Now think about this. They have seen Jesus. They have eaten with him. He has said to touch me, feel my bones. He has said, look at my hands and look at my feet. And then look at verse 41. This is astounding to me. He said, but they still did not believe for joy. Now you think about that. they still didn't believe for joy. They knew he was alive. They had seen the nails, and they didn't believe for joy. Now, I want to ask you and I to answer a question. Do you believe? You can answer out loud. But do you believe for joy? Because you know what we talk about? What brings us joy? If I ever mentioned I have a grandson? Yeah. I have to fight not to talk about him every week. You know why? Because he brings me tremendous joy. Did I mention we'll have another grandchild in just a couple of months? We don't know what it is, boy or girl. So, yeah, you know why? I've seen a picture of that baby's face through a sonogram. That baby brings me joy, and I never even laid an eye on it. You know why? Because that dude just brings me joy. I'm telling you, when something brings us joy, you know what we do? That's an easy question. Come on. We talk about it. And you know what? If we don't talk about him, guess what? It's because we found our joy somewhere else. All right, flip back to Luke chapter 6. It's the last one, Ryan. You can come on up. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 48. All right, this is the good one. I always save the best for last. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug a deep, and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods rose and the stream beat vehemently against the house, it could not shake, for it was founded on the rock." Now listen, we got to understand. You know what this is? This is the Word of God. And in this simple illustration that Jesus gave us, this is what we build our life on. Listen, this is why I stand here with no hesitation or no... just want you to hear me. Listen, don't let the United States of America culture tell you you can live in sin and have God's best. That's not true. You know how I know that? Because the Bible tells us so. You know why the Bible tells us that? Because God wants us to be blessed. And listen, we can go, my time's up. I could go on and on and on. Listen, there is almost nothing that is in this book that is culturally acceptable in America. You can find tons of people that will tell you, "I know, but..." And listen, at some point, you and I have got to make up our mind whether we believe it. But it starts at the empty tomb in the Old Testament. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you, God, I know that, Lord, it is so easy to just disregard what your word says. But God, when we do that, we disregard your power to live our life. And so, God, today, if there's anybody here that's just never really decided, they've just never made up their mind that they're going to just believe you. And when I say believe, I'm talking about sexually. I'm talking about with a tithe. I'm talking about with bending the truth to suit whatever situation they're in. I'm talking about anything that is contrary to your word. And God, I pray that just like these two men who they believed something, they had all the facts, but they just didn't have that understanding of who you are and what you've done. And God, I pray that as we're led in this hymn of invitation, God, I pray that we'll respond accordingly to your word. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.